Today with Claire Byrne on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Sullis. Finish school and not sure what's next? Explore further education and training options at thisisfet.ie.
Good morning and welcome to the programme. Today, the latest from Westminster. Will Rishi Sunak walk unhindered into number 10, or can Penny Mordaunt mount a challenge? Senior ministers meet here today for crunch talks as dozens of refugees arriving over the weekend are left without accommodation. We'll make you an offer you can't refuse. Brian Redden and Larry Donnelly will be here to pick the best mafia movies of all time. Plus, less than a month until the Qatar World Cup. And all this week, we'll be looking behind the spin of the biggest sporting event in the world. And today we ask, how did we get here? We have live music too when Paddy Hanna plays some songs from his new album, Imagine I'm Hoping. And Dr. David Coleman will answer your parenting queries. So email those to us at todaycb at rte.ie. The text number is 51551 and on Twitter we are at Today with Claire. Well, to the UK first, where they could see a new Prime Minister by lunchtime today. The firm favourite is Rishi Sunak, and unless Penny Mordaunt gains an army of supporters well over what she currently has, Rishi Sunak's victory could be confirmed this afternoon. This will be the UK's third Prime Minister in 7 weeks. In a moment, I'll speak to Helen Lewis, staff writer at The Atlantic, and Charlotte Ivers, political correspondent at Times Radio. First, though, RTÉ1's Barry Lenehan is live from Westminster Palace now. Good morning, Barry. So tell us what's happening where you are.
Good morning, Claire. Yes, good morning from Abingdon Green across from the Palace of Westminster. A gathering media presence here behind me, handlers, some MPs arriving as well. But really, it wouldn't be in keeping with the events of the past few days, weeks, months, even years around here at Westminster, or as part of the Tory psychodrama, as it has been dubbed, if we were to have a coronation or a one-horse race today. But that really is what we are facing at the moment, following last night's dramatic withdrawal of Boris Johnson from the leadership race, despite, of course, him saying in typical fashion from the Uxbridge MP that he would have won if he'd entered the race. He would have won the general election as well, and that he had the support of 102 MPs, even though there was no such corroborative evidence of such. So Rishi Sunak and Penny Mordaunt, the two left in the ring to be the next occupant of number 10 Downing Street, as you say, and attention really focusing here this morning on whether Penny Mordaunt can get that army of supporters, as you alluded to, Claire. Can she get up to the 100 threshold in order to trigger a runoff and to trigger a contest? Some of her supporters out and about in Abingdon Green this morning, out and about on the airwaves, such as the former Deputy Prime Minister to Theresa May, Damian Green, saying that Penny Mordaunt can get to the 100, that she's actually within touching distance of the 100, but really her foothold in this race appears to be weakening by the minute. She's clinging on by her fingertips this morning, it appears. Just between 25 and 30 MPs have publicly declared to back Penny Mordaunt. Meanwhile, it's believed Rishi Sunak now has the backing of 171 MPs. 179 would bring him to half of the parliamentary party, so he's almost home and hosed. And within the past half hour or so, two former cabinet ministers, they've called on their colleagues to back Rishi Sunak to lead the Conservative Party just weeks after he failed in his previous attempt to lead it. The former Home Secretary, Priti Patel, the latest to flip-flop in this drama, the latest Boris Johnson supporter to endorse Sunak, saying she will be backing him. And also another significant political beast nailing his colours to the mast as well, Michael Gove, saying he too will be backing Rishi Sunak. He had been undeclared until now. So all this means, despite all the unpredictability around these parts, all the unpredictability unity around the Conservative Party, it could be rather predictable. The bookmakers are giving Rishi Sunak a 95% chance of winning now this morning.
Barry, we'll check in with you a little bit later on. That's Barry Lenehan there at Westminster. Let's go to Charlotte Ivers now, political correspondent at Times Radio. Charlotte, thanks for joining us. I see a spokesperson for Penny Mordaunt saying that she's in it to win it. She's getting the numbers. She's speaking to colleagues from across the party. Can she really mount a challenge, though, at this stage to Rishi Sunak?
It's hard to say at this stage in the game. Certainly Penny Mordaunt's team are being extremely bullish. I was told by a member of her team on Saturday that there would be no gentleman's agreement, that she was going the whole way. And they are now anonymously briefing that they are extremely close to that 100 MPs mark. But as you've just heard there, that is not backed up by public declarations. It's around 30 or so MPs who are publicly declared for Penny Mordaunt. It will be really tricky for her to get those numbers up to 100. And also Rishi Sunak as well, in the last few minutes, has now got an outright majority of 179 MPs who are backing him. So that takes him to half of the parliamentary Conservative Party. That makes it rather difficult for Mordaunt to justify the fact that she would bring the party together. Although I suppose if every single person who isn't backing Sunak publicly swung for Penny, then they would be equal. But that is a big old if. That is extremely unlikely.
And are there any indications that there are talks happening between the two of them this morning?
No, we haven't had any indications of that. My understanding is that there were talks a couple of days ago between all of the candidates, including Boris Johnson, who, of course, dropped out last night. But it doesn't seem like any deals were done. But I'd be absolutely astonished if, at very least, people on the two teams aren't talking to each other.
Now, she doesn't seem to be picking up Boris Johnson's supporters in the way that she might have hoped, is she, Charlotte?
No, she isn't. And it's rather interesting to see, actually. There are a lot of people who are backing Rishi Sunak who are not his natural bedfellow. So thinking of someone like Steve Baker, the chairman of the ERG, known as the Brexit hard man to his colleagues. And then as well, Suella Braverman, the Home Secretary until a couple of days ago, who essentially is seen as the darling of the right of the Conservative Party. Those two would have seemed more natural Boris Johnson backers, but they swung towards Rishi Sunak before Johnson had even dropped out. So Sunak's people are absolutely delighted by that. They say this shows that he is able to command respect across the parliamentary Conservative Party, and he still does seem to be picking up some of those Johnson backers. Mm-hmm. Some of them are going for Penny, but not in the numbers, as you say, that she would have liked.
Now, people will have heard Boris Johnson's statement at around 9 o'clock last night when he bullishly said that he had the numbers, but he just decided not to run in the competition. Nobody really believes him, though, do they?
Well, we'll never know is the long and short of the matter. In terms of public declarations, he was nowhere near there. The Guido Fawkes News website has also been adding some private nominations because there are some people who cannot declare publicly, members of the 1922 committee, for example, or members of the Conservative Party board. And even once they added in those people who had contacted them anonymously, he still was not near 100 backers. But his supporters say that he got to 102 in the end. It will be very hard for us to ever tell whether that was right now that we will never actually have to see those nomination papers.
Rishi Sunak's statement then in response to Boris Johnson dropping out. Just an interesting line in there about Boris Johnson. I hope he'll continue to contribute to public life at home and abroad. Do you know what he meant by that?
That's rather interesting. Intriguing, isn't it? My understanding is that in the conversation between Rishi Sunak and Boris Johnson about whether someone should drop out, about whether a truce could be reached, there was some talk about whether Boris Johnson could take a significant international role, for example, an ambassadorship or an envoyship to Ukraine. But of course, we know that those talks did not end in a deal being done. So perhaps an indicator there that Sunak still wishes to put an olive branch out, but clearly we don't have a firm deal that's been done between those two men.
Okay, and do we have any indication as to whether Boris Johnson would want a role like that in this government under Rishi Sunak?
We actually don't. He's been very quiet about what it is that he does and doesn't want. Of course, he's been telling MPs over the last few days that what it is he wants is to be Prime Minister. And so he'd be unlikely to be talking about any other roles that he might be interested in. In terms of what we know about where he is more broadly and what he wants to do next, speaking to those who know him well, their general sense of it is that actually he'd quite like to go off and make some money and take a bit of a break. So whether or not that would be compatible with a big international role all is hard to say.
Charlotte, thank you very much for joining us once again. Charlotte Ivers there from Times Radio. I'm joined also by former Conservative MP and former Attorney General Dominic Grieve. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
What do you make of the developments over the past 12 hours? Boris Johnson is out. Do you think the way is now clear for Rishi Sunak to walk into number 10 Downing Street today or tomorrow?
Yes, I think it probably is. It's difficult because clearly if Penny Mordaunt were to get 100 votes and be on the ballot paper, and there would then be a vote of the parliamentary party to indicate its preference. But if that vote then went to the membership, it's likely that she would be more popular with the membership than with the members of parliament. So she may be hoping that she can get over that 100 threshold and win the leadership election as a consequence. I think it's a rather high-risk strategy. Firstly, I'm not sure she's going to get the 100, and there doesn't seem to be any evidence at 10 o'clock this morning that she's got there. The fact that Rishi Sunak now has apparently over a half the parliamentary party supporting him is going to raise a very serious issue if she were to get 100, of once again ending up with a leader of the Conservative Party who is not really supported by a majority of the parliamentarians. Mm-hmm. And that's not a desirable place to be. And if I were in her position, I would be very concerned about that.
Yes. So I wonder, would you expect her to be in negotiations, if not now, then in the next couple of hours for a decent job in Rishi Sunak's government?
If Mr. Sunak is being sensible, then irrespective of whether there's a negotiation or not, I would be expecting him to have put out a hand to her if he wins and becomes Prime Minister today, and include her with a senior post in his cabinet. It would be a very strange thing not to do. I realise that the current Prime Minister, Liz Truss, behaved in exactly this fashion when she became Prime Minister. But I have to say, it's not in keeping with the traditions of the Conservative Party and a very odd piece of behaviour.
What does Rishi Sunak need to do now about Boris Johnson?
He needs to keep him as far away as possible from any power and influence. Mr. Johnson is an incubus on the Conservative Party. He sucks the lifeblood out of it. He distorts it and he corrupts it. I know that there is a tendency for parliamentarians to be far too polite to him and about him as the immediate last Prime Minister because they supported him. But in actual fact, he's been a complete disaster.
So when you saw Rishi's statement last night saying that he hopes Boris Johnson continues to have a role in public life, both at home and abroad, are you concerned that he may still be in the fold?
I would certainly be concerned if he had any position of importance, because I happen to think he is unreliable and actually has been shown to be incompetent.
So when it comes to uniting the party after this last number of months, do you think that Rishi Sunak is capable of doing that, or is it beyond unity?
I think he undoubtedly is a man of very considerable qualities. So it may be that he is able to pull the party together. And goodness me, the party needs to be pulled together because it's looking into the abyss. What I think is much more problematical is if he's able to restore the party's fortune sufficiently to win another general election. That, I think, is being highly optimistic. My impression is that the UK electorate have turned against the Conservative Party for very understandable reasons in the recent past. And restoring trust is going to be very difficult. But at least the Conservative Party can hope that with Rishi Sunak, it may be the difference between losing an election and being completely wiped out.
All right, Dominic, stay with us if you can, because I want to bring in Helen Lewis, staff writer at The Atlantic. Good morning, Helen.
Good morning.
Do you think that Rishi Sunak is going to walk unhindered into number 10 either today or tomorrow?
I mean, that's been my bet really since about Saturday lunchtime, and I haven't seen anything to dissuade me from it. So, yes, I'm going to stick to it.
Okay, because Penny Mordaunt's spokesperson in the last few minutes saying that she's fighting on. So it doesn't seem that they're in the mood to negotiate about a possible role for her in Rishi Sunak's government just yet.
Well, that's not how I read that, actually. I think if you say you're fighting on and you definitely could get on the ballot with just a final heave, that gives you much more leverage in any talks about becoming whatever role that is, you know, seen as more prestigious than Leader of the House of Commons. So that may just be kind of kayfabe, I guess. That may be some leverage that she's trying to get there.
And we were just talking about Boris Johnson and what Rishi Sunak might need to do with Boris Johnson. And Dominic Reeve was very clear in his opinion that he should keep him as far away from government as possible. Do you think, though, that he will feel obliged to bring him into the fold?
I actually don't think so, because he has got, Rishi Sunak I'm talking about now, a majority of MPs. He has got a very stable base within the party. And I think Boris Johnson is deeply weakened by, as you said earlier, his inability to get on the ballot. There is, I would say, widespread scepticism about whether or not he did in fact get the 100 nominations he needed to get on the ballot. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure that he's quite the force in the same way that he was before. And also there is the question of the fact that the reason that Rishi Sunak resigned wasn't principally about Boris Johnson's actions over Partygate, for example, but about a grave disagreement in economic policy with the Johnson government. So what is going to be the theme of the next couple of weeks? A big setting out of a new economic policy. So very hard to have someone in the cabinet who you think is probably going to be nothing but a pain in the bum.
He hasn't, Dominic, to come back to you, he hasn't said anything, Rishi Sunak, about what he intends to do as Prime Minister. Do we take it that the policy he ran with over the summer when he was running against Liz Truss, that still stands?
I doubt it. The policies over the summer were in a very different economic climate. I think the one great advantage he has is that he's made no promises in this round at all. Now, obviously, people will look back at what he said in the leadership election in July and August, and those may well reflect his views. But seeing the situation the United Kingdom's facing at the moment, he needs to keep maximum flexibility for his policies. And he also needs, as I say, to bring the party together. I think if he is going to succeed in any way, he is going to have to be extremely pragmatic and very flexible.
Yeah, the Financial Times published a documentary over the last few days setting out just how big a disaster Brexit has been for the British economy. And we know the other problems infecting it at the moment. Now, if it is to be Rishi Sunak, he has huge challenges ahead of him, Dominic.
Yes, he does. And as somebody who supported Remain, and I agree wholeheartedly that Brexit has been an economic and financial disaster for my country, the fact that Rishi supported Brexit has always bemused me, particularly with his financial background. That may be something he's going to have to grapple with. We can't turn the clock back, unfortunately, but it's time, in my view, for a little bit of honest appraisal as to what the challenges are facing the United Kingdom. All of European countries are facing an economic crisis at the moment. France is, Germany is, and Ireland has a similar problem. That's not unusual. The problem is that the United Kingdom is significantly weakened as a result of the events of the last 6 years in facing up to those challenges and in comparison with its competitor partners, France and Germany, is performing worse. Mm-hmm. And that's the question that a future Conservative government or Labour government, for that matter, has got to address.
Helen, do you agree with that?
Well, I too supported Remain in the referendum, so take that into account. But yeah, if you look at the polling, actually it shows that people are quite significantly souring on Brexit. You know, it's outside the margin of error. And I think that one of the things that is a real problem now is having put up trade barriers between the biggest market on our doorstep and the UK. And that is something that, you know, is finally having kind of tangible effects at the same time that people are already finding that all their goods in the shops are more expensive. So it doesn't seem to me absurd to think that people, you know, that they haven't heard a lot. Also, frankly, because COVID interrupted it, the government hasn't done the job of selling Brexit and what the benefits are and what these new trade deals negotiated by Liz Truss, although many of them were rollover trade deals, are. So there has been an absence where the Brexit advocacy was for a long time, I think, because of COVID. So, you know, that's interesting to me. I don't see that Rishi Sunak is going to jettison that. You know, there were some sort of slightly airy tweets about whether or not Keir Starmer, the Labour leader, you know, should campaign in the next election on a platform to rejoin the EU. And I feel a bit sorry for people who think like that, because I just don't think Britain is anywhere near there yet. And I think even if you look to the next couple of years and a potential Labour government, which is certainly what the polls would predict now, it's hard to see a major new re-transformation in our relationship with the EU.
Well, Keir Starmer was on LBC this morning and he was asked that question and he absolutely rejected that any policy would come from the Labour Party to rejoin the EU. Nadine Dorries, though, Helen, saying that a general election is unavoidable now, given that Rishi Sunak will be Prime Minister and Boris Johnson is out. Do you expect that there will be an election before it's due in 2025?
I don't personally, and I will have to go back and look and see whether or not Nadine Dorries had that view when she still thought that Boris Johnson might get on the ballot and win with the members, because it does seem a slight level of cope about her favoured candidate not getting in. But if you look at the polls, sometimes the Conservatives are polling in some of the worst polling they've had. I mean, we're not even looking at a 1997 style, landslide. We're looking at a wipeout for the Conservatives on the current polling. Now, that might very well recover. There may be a honeymoon for Rishi Sunak. But certainly, if you are a MP for the Conservatives with a majority of anything under 15,000, you would not be very confident about your chances of returning to Parliament. And so why would you vote for an early election in those circumstances? That's always been my working assumption. I haven't yet seen anything that suggests that anybody involved wants to get a new mandate or wants to take the big gamble of an election campaign. And I would imagine more this Parliament limping on for a bit longer rather than getting an election.
All right, we'll leave it there. Helen Lewis and Dominic Grieve, thank you both for joining us. And in the last few minutes, Simon Clark is the latest Tory MP to switch from Boris Johnson to Rishi Sunak. We'll keep you up to date with that. But the momentum is very clearly now with Rishi Sunak in the final hours of this campaign before we get to the runoff point. If that happens, we'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
We're just going to want to go back to the UK now. Momentum has been gathering behind the former Chancellor Rishi Sunak to become the next British Prime Minister. Penny Mordaunt's campaign has claimed that she has received the support now of 90 Tory MPs, which means she has about 2 hours to get 10 more. They've urged others to back her to make sure that there is a contest. And our reporter Barry Lenehan is live from Westminster now. So Barry, it seems as though a lot has been happening since we spoke to you a couple of hours ago.
Yeah, and support continuing to flow in for Rishi Sunak to become the next leader of the Conservative Party and ergo the next British Prime Minister, the third in 3 months, the youngest he would be in 300 years. He now has the backing of 187 Conservative Party MPs, the latest to nail their colours to the Sunak mast. The Northern Ireland Secretary of State, Chris Heaton-Harris, confirming it in a tweet a few moments ago. So Mr Sunak, 187 MPs, alongside him. Penny Mordaunt currently has public declarations from 25 MPs, but as you alluded to there, her campaign not throwing in the towel just yet, far from it. They are publicly at least remaining in quite bullish mood, saying they have, yes, the support of 90 MPs, even though the public declaration figure is much lower, 2 hours up to 2 o'clock to get to the magic open sesame number of 100 to trigger a contest. And remember the ramifications of that, the former Attorney General Dominic Grieve telling you earlier on that if it went to the members, then Miss Mordaunt could well be the winner. But yet at the moment, she is scrambling for support, her campaign bullish, but Mr Sunak believes, Sky News reporting, that he is addressing at the moment the European Research Group, the Brexiteer wing of the party, if you will, and that could ultimately be significant from an Irish perspective, given reports and conjecture around here in Abingdon Green that Mr Sunak has made concessions or promises to stick with the policy around the Northern Ireland Protocol, which would ultimately see an agreement perhaps ripped up or overridden should negotiations not be forthcoming with Brussels. But okay, all the support at the moment coming for Sunak.
I just see the Telegraph tweeting that Penny Mordaunt's sources are saying they are increasingly confident now that they will get to 100 MPs. And if she is at 90, there's a strong likelihood, isn't there, Barry, that she'll get there to the 100?
Well, even if you take it from an even human perspective, the Scottish MP John Lamont on the Green here a few minutes ago, very much he's been one of Miss Mordaunt's biggest supporters, coming out batting for her in several media appearances over the last 48 hours. He once again addressing reporters here saying she will get to that support. So really, could you see the likes of him wanting to have egg on their face? So that shows you perhaps the confidence that is there behind Miss Mordaunt at the moment. But others as well calling for her to perhaps withdraw from the race in the name of stability, if you will. One of her former supporters showing again how many, and we've had more flip-flops here in terms of support that Boris Johnson might have seen on the beach in the Caribbean. But George Freeman, who had supported Penny Mordaunt, he is now backing Rishi Sunak, saying that stability is needed. And even people, MPs supporting Rishi Sunak, such as Guy Opperman here a few moments ago, who was elected with Penny Mordaunt in the same intake in the election a few years ago, he also saying that stability is needed. Let's get this done and dusted today and move on for Britain.
All right, Barry, it's fascinating, still fascinating, weeks later. And Barry Lenehan will be reporting for RT Radio 1 throughout the day from his prime spot there in Westminster. Quick